Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Save big money when you start your next project today at Menards. Convert your current recessed lighting with energy-saving LED downlights from Fight Electric. They're bright and install easily in just minutes. They also go from regular lighting to nightlight mode with just a simple flip of a switch. Save big on all Fight lighting products now at Menards. Shop our lighting options today in-store and on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right. Good evening, ladies and gents. So we're going to take a short break from our usual liberty-oriented content, and I'm joined by Nick and the great Ace Arkist. He's the co-host of the Slurp Gang podcast and also the champion of Twitter debates. And it's rumored he does not sleep. So we're gonna give you a little Star Wars power hour. So we hope you're ready to nerd out. So Ace, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing wonderful. Thanks so much for having me on, guys. I'm so glad I'm going to be able to rant about something other than anarchism or something, you know?
Yeah.
Sam, yeah, I was like, you know, it's our first live stream and I have like this, this weird feeling of nerves, but in reality, like Star Wars is my wheelhouse. It's like my earliest memories.
Right.
And I've been obsessed with economics and politics for like 5 to 10 years. I mean, really down the rabbit hole for 5 years, but Star Wars, that's like going back to age four. So
right.
Maybe we'll start there. So Ace, what was your like first exposure to Star Wars? Were you like me where you watched like the OT when you were like a toddler?
Yeah, I watched the OT when I was very young. I have the VHS box set somewhere, like the old VHSs somewhere around here. I don't know where they are, but yeah, I watched the OT and I watched the prequels. I don't know which one I watched first because back then it's all sort of a blur. You know, it's like Star Wars was just like always there. So I now don't have an entry point really to speak of.
Dude, that's like usually one of the first things I tell to like older fans or younger fans or people that got into Star Wars later. I feel robbed because it's like I've always known that Vader was Luke's dad. Like I always knew it. I don't remember like the big reveal. It was so it's kind of bullshit, you know,
that
my parents let me watch it before I was like 10. But But yeah, no. So you guys, you said you're 25, Tyler's 30, I'm 27. Yeah. So we all kind of grew up like with the prequels as, you know, there's nostalgia there. We're not haters like the boomers.
No. Yeah, no, I'm a big prequel respecter.
You know, after I watched the Clone Wars, especially I had to immediately go back and rewatch the prequels, and I appreciated them so much more.
Oh yeah. No, me, I had the exact same experience because Clone Wars really recontextualizes the prequels into more of a cohesive unit. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Whereas if you just watch the prequels, I can understand where people are like, well, this doesn't really make a lot of sense. But when you go back and you watch Clone Wars, which if someone watching right now has not watched, it's on Disney Plus. The entire series is there. It's great. You should. I definitely recommend it. Once you watch Clone Wars, the whole entire prequel series gets recontextualized, and you can appreciate it so much more.
Yeah, and Jar Jar is very limited. So if that's right, your gripe, then he's then you're good. Yeah. You know? But I mean, Clone Wars. I there's always like this stigma where I'm like, oh, I'm not gonna watch a fucking kids show. But then you watch it, and it's like when you can get past that and swallow your pride. I mean, we're already Star Wars fans, so you kind of have to do that. So, but then it's like, yeah, you can enjoy it. Like it does add so much context, like General Grievous and that kind of shit, and then just like the lore of the universe in general.
That's right. Yeah. And I always think that's kind of funny too, because it's like we all started watching Star Wars when we were kids, you know? So it's always kind of funny when, you know, people say, oh, yeah, you know, I don't want to watch Clone Wars because it's a kid show. But ultimately, we got into Star Wars as a kid's adventure type thing. You know what I mean?
In some way. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like they know that. Like they know that they can ride that nostalgia.
That's right.
And you know, I mean, like I just finished yesterday watching Rebels, which was fun. I mean, it was like the same kind of, and you could say the same thing about The Mandalorian, where it's sort of like a little bit predictable. Like, you know, nobody's going to get killed by a stormtrooper. You know that there's going to be side quests so they can get the next MacGuffin, but it's still fun nonetheless.
Yeah. Yeah.
And maybe we should preface this. If you haven't watched any of these, but you intend on it, you might want to turn this off now because we're going to throw some spoilers out.
Oh, yes. I was actually going to bring that up because if it's okay, I do intend to like spoil things as we're talking about them. So if you, good warning. Good warning.
Yeah, I figured we would get that out of the way. And also shout out to Small Crimes for putting the mega threat out there and making this happen.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, she put the mega thread out there, and this all came to fruition out of that. But anyways, back to Star Wars.
Yeah, so I figured that we could start with, I feel like the plot of the prequel trilogy is so underrated. Like, it is truly, it's like George Lucas kind of captured the story of every Republic turned Empire. Like, it's Rome, it's the U.S., it's all of these things. And people, you know, shit on the prequels, like all the boomers and everything, and they don't respect like how good that backstory is. Like, they just get hung up on, you know, Lucas's terrible dialogue, where I actually heard a story, I forgot who, I think it was maybe like that Star Wars theory guy on YouTube, saying that basically by the time the prequels were made, everybody was so afraid of George Lucas that nobody told him, like nobody gave him any critical feedback. They're just like, I like sand, or I hate sand. Yep, that sounds good dialogue. So that's why the cringe is in there.
Yeah. I you know, hopping off of that, I think the prequel, the story underneath the prequels is actually fantastic. I think it's great. I think the execution is a little sloppy. You know, I think that's a very fair criticism, but the actual story underneath it, with like the political intrigue and just the story of the Jedi themselves, right? Because I feel like one of the things when people watch the prequels and they're so like disappointed is that I feel like sometimes they watch them thinking the Jedi are going to be like these heroic players. They're going to be like these real heroes. But when you watch the prequels, you're kind of expected to watch them from the viewpoint of that, no, this is the Jedi when they're failing, right? This is their greatest moment of failure here. And it's like, you're not necessarily supposed to look at them as heroes necessarily, or the good guys traditionally.
Yeah. They're sort of like they show off their arrogance. Like they were blind because they were so proud and engaging in politics.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And also like the Clone Wars does a really good job of kind of tying that all together too.
Oh yeah.
Like where Yoda has that moment where he talks to Qui-Gon and then he realizes like all this was fucked.
Yeah.
Like, it was, no one wins in war.
Yeah, they were doomed to fail from the start as soon as they started playing the game. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, you know, out of all the prequel characters, really the only like from the start, really the only like really like heroic and good character, like in the sense that you would view as a hero, is Qui-Gon, in my view, like from the prequels, right? And everyone there, like even Obi-Wan, who is a good hero and a character, he's still kind of blinded in the same way that the rest of the Jedi are blinded by everything.
Yeah, Obi-Wan is just kind of like naive, but he's still like, you know, his allegiance is to the Republic and everything. But Qui-Gon was based from episode one, all the way just to the end of episode one, because you know, they killed him off. But Qui-Gon, yeah, he had it down. And the other thing about the prequels is it details, like in the original trilogy, they just make Sidious or the Emperor just this kind of like mysterious guy, and you wonder what his backstory is. And then they, like the prequels, made Palpatine like the archetypal bad guy, and he's compelling because his whole grand vision, it's like the same reason Thanos was a good bad guy, because they get into like his psychology. Like Palpatine, you know, he wanted order and control. He was like this neoliberal sort of just dictator.
He kind of reminds me of FDR.
But nobody asks working legs.
I want to know what Palpatine's actual policies were. What if he was like a really good minarchist? Like he was just like low taxes, but then just like the rebels, like just hated one thing. Like he was, you know, he had, you know, prohibition on one substance. And so basically he was like the Calvin Coolidge of the Star Wars universe. And they had to fucking overthrow the guy.
That's true. The rebels were Marxists.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
it was a Marxist revolution.
Yeah. The Empire did nothing wrong. Yeah.
But that's what's interesting, is because, like, you know, Jordan Peterson talks about the like union archetypes and why people watch fiction, because it kind of like speaks to your subconscious and all of these like deep things within you. And what's hilarious to me is people, like, if you went through all the like blue check marks or blue anon, like all these people that were like COVID crazy, and you ask them about Star Wars, they'd be like, oh, I fucking love Star Wars. But it's like, in reality, they would have had the Empire's back. Like they would have been there. They, you know what I mean? The rebels would have been terrorists and domestic terrorists. So that is funny. So they're kind of missing that subconscious theme that, you know, people talk about in fiction.
They're like that meme that was going around Twitter for a while. We're like, look how many jobs the Death Star is creating.
Oh, right.
It's a jobs program.
Right.
But I guess going back to the like animated series, or not the animated series, the one thing I want to talk about was the Obi-Wan series. Like that's coming up, and I think going to be really good, because Disney, if they give control to Dave Filoni, then I have hope for the future, a new hope.
Yeah. But he recently got promoted to like executive producer at Lucasfilm.
Yes. They need to get Kathleen Kennedy and whatever her title is and all those people. Get the fuck out of there. And then, just the whole Disney thing, like they made it so corporate. And the fact that they, like the disrespect that they had with the sequel trilogy, where they admitted there was no plan, that's unforgivable. I mean, they should have like an episode 10 where it turns out that like the entire sequel trilogy was just like a Jar Jar Binks fever dream. Like it never happened. Just like wipe it. Just like, you know, make that canonically true that it never happened, because it was just a dumpster fire.
Right. Like the worst thing, and I know this might be a little bit of a hot take, but I place more blame on, well, obviously, you know, Kathleen Kennedy obviously deserves a lot of blame, but of the directors, I actually place more blame on JJ than I do Ryan, you know, because I feel like he kind of set the whole thing off into that trajectory, you know, and how he capped it off, I think, was pretty bad, to say the least.
Yeah, I think I share that feeling. Like there's plenty of blame to go around, because I mean episode 7, they basically made they just repackaged A New Hope like verbatim. They didn't better special effects and worse characters and backstories. But and then episode 8, they handed off to a different guy, like it's a fucking relay race, and he blows up the whole thing. Like, oh, I'm gonna kill your big bad guy. And then what's frustrating to me, nobody makes this criticism of The Last Jedi, but what frustrates me about it is it covers like no ground. Like it picks up immediately after episode 7, and the whole thing is like a 10-hour chase scene like 2-day chase scene.
Like, yeah, it takes place in like a day or two.
Yes, it covers no time, and then they kill off the characters. They answer no questions. They leave you with more questions, and then they hand it back to JJ, where it now has to like basically fit a new trilogy into one movie, and it shows it's that sloppy.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know about you guys, but I think I was thinking about the most recent trilogy a couple days ago, actually. And I really feel like The Rise of Skywalker is the worst movie in the entire franchise.
Like, strong personally. Argument.
I feel like it undoes so many things lore wise in the trilogy. It does damage retroactively to the series.
Yeah, it undoes it big time, as well as, and that's why more, like you said, more blame to JJ, because so does episode 7. Like, they you have this giant revolution where, like, you know, and they live happily ever after. Yeah. And then fast forward 30 years, and now, like, the Empire's back under a different banner. The New Republic just doesn't count for shit. They don't help in this war. There's just the resistance now with a bunch of purple haired SJWs. Yeah. Like, it just doesn't. Oh, it drives me nuts.
So I've thought about this so much. That's an amazing point. When I first saw Force Awakens in theaters, I had a really good theater experience. And my first time watching it was like, oh, that was pretty good, you know? And then I thought back on it later on, and I'm like, oh, wow, there's so many problems with this movie. And it really just, I could never get it out of my head. And you're exactly right. The problem that Force Awakens causes to the whole entire series is immense, in my opinion, because it undoes all of the victories that the heroes had in the original trilogy, right? Like mm-hmm. Every single one. Like, Leia did not really successfully create a New Republic. You know, Han has basically no character development to the point where he's now just the same as he was.
Old version of himself.
And And Luke, his entire order is just gone. The Jedi, right? It's revealed in episode 7 that his order is just gone and he went hiding. So they replayed Order 66 too. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So the Jedi order is just gone. And now they just wiped the slate clean. And it's like, now when you watch the original trilogy, you always have that in the back of your head where it's like, oh yeah, all their victories meant nothing, practically speaking. And it's
No, and that's the other, like you said, like all of the victories of the original trilogy are gone. And then Han Solo went from being like this selfish badass. Like he was a bad motherfucker, but he was like really selfish and out for himself. Mm-hmm. And then he becomes part of the team and like a general in a righteous war. And then episode 7, and it's like he has a son who's really powerful. And then episode 7, 30 years later, in his twilight years, he's just back to being like a bitch of an old man smuggler. Like he wasn't a war hero. He wasn't any of these things.
It was entire character arc did not happen at all. Yeah.
And that's why I want to pitch the fever dream thing.
I don't think that they could have made a more whiny bitch of like a semi-main character. Cause I consider like Luke's cool, but like he's kind of a whiny bitch. But then they come out with, what's his fucking name? Adam Driver's character.
Kylo.
I'm drawing a blank. Kylo Ren. Yeah. And he's even worse. He's like a My Chemical Romance music video. They undo, like, Darth Vader was like one of the baddest motherfuckers of all time. Mm-hmm. And then they set Kylo Ren up to be the villain, but then he becomes a hero in the same, a way worse story arc. And like, they had to bring back Sidious to even make it like a worthwhile villain. In The Last Jedi, they killed off
Snoke.
Yeah, they just kill him off. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is going on here?
Yeah, with Kylo, my biggest regret is that I feel like there are so many more interesting ways you could have gone with his story arc than they did. So I feel like they chose the lowest common denominator and just went basic with it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. When they brought back Palpatine, it's like, okay, in some sense, it was cool seeing Palpatine again on just some like visceral level, but lore wise, I think that just destroys like so many things. Like, that's one of the biggest things that just went wrong for me. It's like, you undid Anakin's arc, you know, there's no other way to say it. You undid Anakin's arc, and that's the main story of Star Wars.
And then we know that at the end of episode 6, that Anakin is a Force ghost, and then while his son is going down this dark path, he just bails and doesn't do anything. And then Luke gives up, or you know, Luke Skywalker, who redeemed his, you know, ultimately evil father, is gonna strike down his 14-year-old nephew because he had a nightmare. Like, the whole thing is just such a mess. It's so offensive what they did with that story. And what was the other thing? Well, I mean, I think what they did is they, like, that whole thing is such trash that the only place they can really you know, have a good story anymore is kind of what they're doing with the Mandalorian and Obi-Wan series and Rebels, where there's actually like, okay, this is before the terrible sequel.
Right. Yeah.
Honestly, actually, I probably would have been okay if you know, they could have kept the social justice nonsense in the newest trilogy. They could have just used Kylo Ren as just the most toxic masculine example possible. At least then he would have been a good villain, right?
Yeah, they just made him a little bitch though. And there was
they could have made him like a fucking pirate, raping and pillaging his way through everything, and it would have been better. He would have been a better villain.
He would have, and they could have set up his arc better, and they could have done this even to episode 9, where, so, okay, do you guys remember the theory after episode 7 where Kylo Ren, like, meets Han Solo on the bridge, and then he blasts him with his fucking lightsaber, and then he falls off, and then Chewie cries out? So there was that theory that, you know, he was doing this to, like, commit to the dark side the same way Anakin fucked up all those kids with his lightsaber. It was like, okay, Snoke is getting him to commit to the dark side and do something unforgivable, kill your own father, so you're like sealed to the dark side. But then, so it's like, okay, there was this theory that actually Han Solo was the one that ignited the lightsaber and took himself out so that he didn't have to have that fate. And then it's like, okay, that actually makes sense, you know, feel however you want about the story, but at least it makes sense. And then they never do that. There's no payoff. Like, there's so many loose ends and then unnecessary conclusions. And I mean, we could do like probably 10 hours on all of the faults of this. And actually that one YouTuber, I think his name is Mahler. He has a great takedown of like all of the sequel trilogy movies. If you guys haven't seen it.
Yeah. It's like 8 hours or something. I haven't watched it, but I've seen the length of his reviews.
Yeah,
people were so mad that they bullied that one girl off the second movie, right? Off
Kelly
social
Marie
media.
Tran.
Yeah, and that was overblown. Yeah, like that was ugh. And well, it's not, I think, her fault that she was a terrible character.
Daisy Ridley also got off social media.
Yeah, yeah.
So Star Wars fans, they're unforgiving.
Yeah.
They probably would have burned down Disney Studios if it wasn't for The Mandalorian.
Yeah, sometimes
and the final season of the Clone Wars.
Yeah,
and Rogue One. I really liked. I watched rewatched Rogue One last weekend, and that still holds up. Like that is really good. They tied it in beautifully, and that scene with Vader where he's in the hallway. It's beautiful.
I watched that in theaters. I was flying half mast. I was like, oh my god. Yeah, it just goes dark, and then the red lightsaber comes out.
Yeah, it was Rogue like a horror great. Movie.
Yeah. I really like, especially on rewatch, I've really started to appreciate Rogue One even more than I did previously.
Yeah,
I need to Rebels. Rewatch it again because the ghost ship makes a cameo in Rogue One.
Yeah,
so I got to rewatch and pay attention for that. I'm always so hyped about the upcoming Darth Vader scene that like I lose focus. About
oh right, else. Right, yeah, yeah.
Wait, the ghost is in Rogue One.
Yeah,
yeah.
Oh, where are they at? Like, where's the scene? I missed it.
The Scarif space battle right after they come out of hyperspace. You can see the ghost in like a bottom corner of the frame. Yeah,
shit. Okay That's cool that they worked it in there, because I forgot.
It's also in Rise of Skywalker too, when all the ships fly in. It's
yeah, I remember that. I remember that. And yeah, I mean, I think they, because did Disney own Rebels from the beginning? That was always Disney.
Yeah, that was Disney. Yeah.
So was that one of their first ones that they did?
Yeah, it was right after Clone Wars was canceled. Because some of the reasons it's more childish than Clone Wars is because they didn't have Disney Plus yet, and the only place they could place their animated shows was on Disney XD, I believe. So that's it suffered from like a lower age rating, and that's why it's kind of has a much lighter tone than Clone Wars or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
I'm also pretty pumped about the upcoming Ahsoka series.
Uh-huh.
Because I've read mixed reports, but it sounds like they're going to try to tie in how she's going after Ezra, maybe.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hearing.
Right.
Because they left that was a total loose end at the end of Rebels.
Yeah, which I think was a good idea. They could branch into a whole nother story. So I like that. It was weird. Like, he decides to just like go off when he could have gotten off that ship, but he had to like make sure Thrawn was taken into deep space. Like, it didn't really make sense. I'm like, okay, I guess it's poetic. It's like, it's going for the kind of emotional payoff that you want. But let's read a couple of our We got a couple of comments with it being our first live stream. I think the that's pretty flattering. Yeah. So Omoy Kane says Jay was right. XMR is king and BTC Bitcoin sucks. Also Ace is king. So Jay was wrong and right. I have no idea what the fuck that means. So
Slurp gang.
Yeah. They're yeah.
That's right. We got cross platform wars going on.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like I just stepped into something I don't quite understand. And then James Gentleman, who's going to be an upcoming guest on the podcast, said, "Hey, nerds, what's up, James?" Yeah, so hopefully we'll be doing more of this moving forward. A lot of the live stream breakdowns where we're just kind of hanging out, taking a welcome departure from the kind of deep. Like we'll talk about like Austrian business cycle theory, and then we'll go like we'll have some episode where we fuck off and do something completely lighthearted. But yeah, I feel like we kind of skipped over, or like I had a shitty segue away from the prequels, but going back to the prequels.
Yeah.
I think that like the other place where they could add a lot of context, and they do this with content or with the comic series, which I never read. I'll catch like some videos on YouTube, but between episode 1 and 2, I feel like there's a lot to unpack there with like Dooku and everything. So I think that's like, you know, they could do either a live action series or another animated series in the future.
Yeah, that's a place that's just untouched, basically, between 1 and 2. That's a good point. Yeah. Because there's certainly, like, because you miss everything, like, because Dooku, in my opinion, like, I like Dooku, but he's probably the least developed out of all, like, all of the villains in the prequels. Maybe Grievous to a certain extent, but I feel like there's more potential for a lot for Dooku to get fleshed out more. And I know this is a great book, but...
Yeah, he's like a, you know, a gentleman. Like he was known as being like this. He was kind of a snob, and he was what do they say in Clone Wars, or not Clone Wars, Attack of the Clones, where Mace Windu's like, you know, he's a political radical, but he's not a killer or something like that.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, they could make Dooku like, you know, he was an anarchist and he was just like, you know, he was an ANCAP. And you know, he couldn't take the Republic's like tax policy or something. I think they could have some fun stuff there.
Just goes fucking raging over the tax policy.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
He was basically a boogaloo boy.
They're gonna frame the separatists as neo-Confederates.
Oh god. Yeah.
Dude, the other thing that's so funny, especially like I feel like us being our age, we can look back and appreciate how funny this was. But the Trade Federation is basically China, like just nakedly, obviously, like they have tariffs.
Yeah. And it's something you miss when you're a kid, you know,
but Lord Sidious, it is so good to see you. Like he just has like, it's just a Chinese accent. It's not even like a kind of Chinese accent. It's like, nope, he's Chinese.
Yeah.
So that is, and dude, I remember like growing up. So I was 5 when episode 1 came out, and I actually remember like watching it in theaters and like the action figures, like I remember like the smell of the action figures. And I think to this day, they said that Star Wars episode 1 from 99 had the most memorabilia, like merchandise out of any movie in film history, which makes sense. I mean, I wish I could have been around for the hype. Cause I remember being a kid and it's like, oh, it was a big deal. My older brother was really into Star Wars. So I feel like he experienced that. But if you watch like videos or documentaries on it, it's like, this was like one of the biggest events ever. I think it might still hold some records adjusted for inflation.
Dude, I remember that N64 pod racing game. Me and my buddies played the shit out of that. I might go buy an N64 in the next week and try to get that game, because that game was fucking awesome.
I've been meaning to get an N64 anyway. I feel like that's, if you want a good hedge against inflation, I feel like getting like N64s and like rumble packs for your controllers, that's probably a good bet, because they're not making any more of them. And like you said, there's a lot of nostalgia as like people our age get into their careers and start having more money, you're going to see them bid those prices up. That's just my predictions.
Didn't the kid that played Anakin in the first movie, didn't he like fall off the deep end after that and like claim Star Wars ruined his life?
Yeah, because he actually got bullied like by the fans like after it came out. There were, in fact, not just that, but I'm pretty sure, I'm almost positive there was a New York Times reporter who attacked him personally, attacked the kid in a review for Star Wars. And I think essentially he just got bullied at school and stuff like that, and then he eventually got arrested for drugs or something. I think it was.
Damn. Yeah. It's so typical of the New York Times.
Yeah.
Par for the course.
Do you remember what movie was that? I can't remember his name, but he was in that movie. I think it was Jake Lloyd. Yeah, he was in that movie Jingle All the Way with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah,
you remember that? Right. Where he's like his dad, and it was an okay movie, but. Never anything again. He could probably live off those episode one royalties the rest of his life, though. He's probably fine.
I did hear that Hayden Christensen is coming back for the Obi-Wan series.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people hated on him, too. Mm-hmm, they also, if you remember, when they released the first DVD edition of the new trilogy, they edited in Hayden Christensen after like the prequels came out.
Yeah, yep.
At the end scene in Return of the Jedi.
Yep.
Yes. Yep.
People were fucking mad about that too.
Yeah, they were.
Ace, that's what's cool. You said you have all the VHS tapes. You can watch them all on Disney Plus right now. But I think it's like five or six times George Lucas went back in and then digitally remastered them. And that awful cantina scene in Return of the Jedi. Oh, I just mute it and I just wait. I just close my eyes and do breathing exercises for 3 minutes because it's brutal to get through.
Well, you know, he changed it again after Lucas was gone. They edited the Disney Plus version into something a little bit different now. Yeah, so they changed it again recently. Yeah,
I was wondering because I had the VHS copies too, and I was like, I don't remember this scene. I was like, I know I was young, but fuck. I don't think my memory is bad.
What's your least favorite change that was made, like from the edits, if you can remember?
The cantina Han shot first.
The cantina scene's pretty bad.
Yeah. I think it's the cantina scene, but I also really, really despise what they did in Return of the Jedi when Vader says no when he kills the Emperor. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like he screams, no. And it's just kind of like clunky. He didn't say anything. Before that change was made, there was nothing there, but you could still read like things, what he was thinking on his mask. And the whole like him verbalizing it kind of takes away from the ambiguity, but from just the emotion of the scene. It kind of takes you out of it a little bit. I hate that change so much.
Well, and that whole thing where everything like the revisionist thing where I'm going to go back and make it perfect. Like I wish I would have done this. It's like, first of all, once it's out there, you know, like people have VHSs and it just looks hacky. Like you don't trust, like you don't believe in your work if you go back and do that.
Right.
And it's kind of the same thing with like, if you listen to old classic rock, like from the 60s and 70s, there are imperfections. And the reason there are imperfections is because they would do like live takes. And film was really expensive. Like recording, like tapes for actually recording music was expensive. Mm-hmm. So at a certain point they'd say, it's good enough, fuck it, keep it. So you'd hear things like, you know, fingers sliding on guitar strings and all these little imperfections. Mm-hmm. And that it's actually pretty cool. It gives it some character. And nowadays it's like you have unlimited terabytes of data and they could like edit out the sounds and everything. So it's like, I feel like the same thing with older movies, the fact that they're a little bit cheesy, a little bit hacky, that there's these kind of like bad special effects,
right?
Like you keep that. It's like a moment in time. Like you're saying, this is what we had to work with back then.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's also kind of insulting because it's like, you're taking away from the work these people did by retroactively going back and like fixing it, saying that it wasn't good enough back then too. You know what I mean?
Especially the Vader saying no thing. I didn't catch that. I'm like, ugh. Like, yeah, I didn't catch that. I wouldn't have remembered, but it's kind of cringy even not knowing.
Yeah. And that's why there's been a growing movement of people that are wanting to buy physical copies of stuff for that reason, because they're like, you know, what if the political landscape changes and they want to edit in all sorts of messaging in films? And like the whole thing will be totally distorted down the road. And I think there's some validity to that. I mean, Star Wars was out for like, 40 years when they started editing in these new scenes and everything.
Yeah. For a pretty good amount of time. And then it started like right around the prequels he started going back and editing the original trilogy. Yeah.
Damn. Didn't they even do things like added color to lightsabers? Like they used to be like, a little bit of blue, and then they're like, oh, we're gonna make them
vibrant. Hold up, Nick, you're buffering.
Shit. Yeah, I see that.
We're joined by C-3PO. I don't know. You're not liking this live stream.
Damn, dude, it was good for so long.
We should have went to Pornhub. It probably would have been a better streaming platform.
Is it back now? Is it okay?
It's still buffering a bit.
Yeah.
Okay. Hopefully this close down some tab here.
Yeah, you close out of the Pornhub stream tab. So, Ace, while Nick is buffering, have you caught up on the Bad Batch? Have you watched any of that?
Yes. Yep.
I'm enjoying it so far. I'm still anxiously awaiting a Jedi cameo.
Right. Yeah. I'm just,
because.
Well, okay. Like after it was announced that Clone Wars was coming back, I was ecstatic. So anything that kind of carries on in the tradition of Clone Wars, I'm happy with. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it doesn't have to like hit all the highs that Clone Wars hit. I'm just sort of happy it's, you know, it's there. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Agreed. Yeah. I like it. And I, you know, cause I'm curious to see where the storyline's going. Cause mm-hmm. I didn't read up anything about the Bad Batch outside of seeing them in Clone Wars.
Yeah.
So I'm like, it's freestyling for me.
Yeah, I think this is like one of the only properties where you literally don't have any idea where it could go. You know what I mean? Because it's just so open-ended at the point to this point. Mm-hmm. Where it's just like, yeah, it's one of those where you can just speculate forever and, you know, each theory is kind of valid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm also like, I like the Cad Bane
appearance. Yeah, I was so happy with that.
Yeah, Cad Bane. He was an underrated character.
Yeah, for sure. Wars. And it's been like 10 years since he's actually appeared in a Star Wars thing.
Yeah.
So that's like great. Yeah, it's great to see him back.
Yeah. Although he sounds different. I don't know if they got someone else like voicing him now.
I think it's the same person, but I feel like the audio mixing or something was a little different. You know what I mean? Because I feel like I do see what she's saying. I feel like he used to have more of like a gruffness to his voice a little bit.
Yeah. Like it sounded almost like robotic in a rough way.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, Nick, you might be coming back. You're starting to look clear.
Oh shit.
Who do you have as like one of your favorite characters, but like is kind of under the radar, like underrated?
Oh, this is a really good. It's a really good question. Okay. Years ago, I would have said Ahsoka, but Ahsoka is no longer underrated in the slightest. honestly, probably the Clone Fives is one of my favorite characters in the entire, not just the show, but the series, because I feel like he has such a impactful story with like how where he goes in the Clone Wars and ultimately almost saves everyone. He almost saves the entire galaxy by him revealing Order 66 early. And I feel like it's one of those tragic stories that just is like, it's so impactful because he almost saved everyone. So probably Fives.
Dang, that's a good one. Yeah, Five is definitely flying under the radar. Like most people,
yeah,
aren't. He's a good one. I liked Satine.
Oh yeah, Satine was great
of Mandalore.
Yeah. I love that whole story with Obi-Wan.
I do too, and it like, I think it. They did a good job of adding even more of like a human element. Cause I feel like in the prequel films, Obi-Wan is like pretty by the book. I mean, he's a little naive about what all is going on, but like they added a new layer to his character. I think with that story.
100% agreed. Yeah. Like what the Clone Wars does so well is it just takes what you already knew, but it like grows it and reestablishes it and recontextualizes it in the greater like universe, which is like, that's the best thing you could want from like a sideshow, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Nick, you're still
a little choppy.
I have opinions on this.
You got what do you got? Dial up?
There's a storm out right now, so I think that's why I'm losing connection.
Oh, you sound better.
I hear you guys sound better. Okay, good. Then I'll roll with that for now. But on the topic of underrated characters, I really like Plo Koon, like they really go into him. Like even as a kid, I thought he just looked the coolest. I'm like, he's got like a weird like now I hate masks, but back then I'm like, oh, he's got like a cool mask, but it's just his face. I think it's like a breather. Plo Koon, and then who else? Mace Windu, I would say, even is like an underrated character because they don't really get too much of his backstory or anything. But you know, if you read like even the books, they talk about his fighting style and how he kind of like incorporates the dark side. I feel like the movies really left a lot to be explored there.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I caught most of that. You started to cut out a little bit at the end, but yeah. And it's, I mean, Samuel Jackson, like, he's a fucking man. Like, you couldn't cast it any better.
I love the behind the scenes when he's asking George Lucas to get a purple lightsaber, and George's like, oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, you can't tell him no.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a motherfucker involved in there somewhere.
Motherfucker. Man, Nick, you're cutting out again. Yeah. Mother Nature is not liking the live stream idea.
No.
If anything, I now support global warming. I'm gonna go dump some gasoline and oil in the grass outside.
Yeah, the entire prequels are like really underrated, like story wise. Like I feel like, you know, the thing about the prequels, right, is like I think a lot of people don't quite appreciate how well it fits into the OT, because that's usually one of the criticisms, right, is that it feels so disconnected from the original trilogy. But when you look at it from like Anakin's arc, like there's a lot of things that really just make Darth Vader better as a character. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's this great explanation about this by Dave Filoni. I don't know if you guys saw it, but he's talking about the Phantom Menace, right? And you know, obviously, the musical cue by John Williams, Duel of the Fates, when Darth Maul and the Phantom Menace fights
on
an Obi-Wan. It's classic music piece. And it's titled Duel of the Fates because the whole point of that like duel is it's deciding the fate of Anakin's future, right? Like who will actually train Anakin? That's apparently what the song refers to. And when Qui-Gon dies, Qui-Gon is Anakin is kind of was going to take on the role of Anakin's father, right? That's what Qui-Gon was to Anakin. And when Maul kills Qui-Gon, he's left without a father, right? And then he's left with Obi-Wan to train him because Obi-Wan promised to train Anakin. And all the way through this, right, it's this refusal, or it's this inability to like have a father figure as a Jedi, as like a true master, that actually leads Anakin to be corrupted by Sidious. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like from that moment in the prequels, it's like his path is set from there on.
Damn. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like Obi-Wan, I'm going to try to talk here, even though I know it probably sounds shitty, but I feel like Obi-Wan was kind of like the brother role that we like forced to see the father. He was never to take that on. So instead of being a guiding force, he was just kind of like Anakin's friend.
And right.
That's what he felt being like the one father figure.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. So it's like, and it allows Sidious to take on that father role and corrupt Anakin. So, like, the Qui-Gon's death is probably one of the more important things in the entire Star Wars timeline. And I don't think people, like, appreciate it enough, right? Because, like, all the way through to the very end of the in Return of the Jedi, after Anakin has been Vader for years and years, it's like when Vader finally, to me, this is the entire moral climax of the entire emotional climax of the entire Star Wars story is when Vader kills Palpatine, when he saves his son and kills Palpatine. The entire story rests on that one moment, in my opinion. It just everything comes together in that one moment. And what that is like Vader is becoming the father figure he never had in that moment, right? He has to choose to become the father that he never had in the form of Qui-Gon, and he kills Sidious. And it kind of like, you know, it's like that George Lucas thing, right? It rhymes thematically. And it, like, once you have that in context, it's like, oh, wow, this all does connect back together.
Yeah, agreed. It definitely ties it all together. And it's like, there's also like a sprinkling of like, everything Anakin did, he thought he was doing to help or you know, to save Padme. So it's like the classic road to hell is paved with good intentions too.
Right, right.
That you're right. When he loses Qui-Gon as his father figure, like it all of his issues from there on out are a result of that pivotal moment. And I agree. I think that if you talk to most fans of the prequels, they probably overlook that moment. They're like, yeah, Qui-Gon died. Darth Maul killed him.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Or that he's just some like throwaway character. You know what I mean? Because that's like, I can see why people would think that, but it's like Qui-Gon is like the most important, one of the most important characters in the entire prequel trilogy, you know, for the reason that of all the lost potential, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm glad that they brought Maul back.
Like, yeah.
A fan favorite.
God,
but
yeah.
At the same time, I remember seeing theories where were like, what if Rey is Darth Maul's child, which is just like a joke to begin with. But then if you actually look, I actually made a meme in a Star Wars shitposting group where it shows Maul's body cut in half as he's falling down that shaft. Mm-hmm. And I drew like where his dick would be, like a little red dick. And I'm like, unless Dathomirian's dicks are on their chest, I think that Rey is probably in the clear without a paternity test. Because it's like, they never address that. Like, oh, he's got robotic legs. And it's like, yeah, but Obi-Wan chopped his dick off in essence. Like, he cut the whole thing. So
right.
I dug it. It's like, oh, his rage, like, kept him alive. Like, okay, maybe he was, like, he sort of, like, cauterized his body. Like, could make a case. Because they never bleed when they get chopped with a lightsaber. So
right.
I think it's plausible, especially because, you know, the rules don't apply in Star Wars universe, and he's a different species. So I could roll with it, but I'm glad they kept him alive. I thought his death in Rebels was a little anticlimactic. Like, it would have, or not anticlimactic, but it would have been cooler if they did that in a live action series. They should have saved that for the Obi-Wan series.
Yeah, I actually like Maul's death in Rebels person. Like, I like the lightsaber fight. It was very, you know, Kurosawa.
Yes.
It's very quick. I really appreciated that, actually. I thought it was really well done.
I wish they would have had Ewan McGregor do it. I get it. They had to fit it into the series.
Right.
Speaking of the Obi-Wan series, you know, my wife and I actually watched, what's it called? Cause I love Ewan McGregor, but we watched, what's the movie? Dr. Sleep, which is the sequel to The Shining. And he's great in that. Like, the guy is just a phenomenal actor all around. But I really hope that the Obi-Wan series lives up to expectations, because I have high expectations for it with Filoni at the wheel. So when they say 2022 that's coming out.
2022 or some, yeah. I really hope they do like some type of Clone Wars flashback in that show.
Yes.
So
they did say that they were teasing that him and Anakin meet again.
Right. And not just Darth Vader, they said Anakin, I think. So that's,
I was thinking about this. I was thinking about this because in A New Hope, Vader says, I feel a presence I haven't felt since. And then he's like, oh, you lived. But they don't talk about, like, oh, since Mustafar or whatever. They just kind of leave it open-ended. You wonder if they do have some run-in. Like, you know, Mustafar wasn't the last time they met, and then Vader thought he was dead. Because he said, like, oh, he lives, or whatever.
Like, and Obi-Wan also says, like, he's more machine now than man, but how did Obi-Wan know exactly that Anakin did survive after Mustafar? You know what I mean? How do you know you know what I mean? There's a lot there that you could definitely, like, add on to.
Yeah, because nobody knew that Anakin was Vader. Nobody knew that they were the same guy. Like, that's one thing, the Vader comics, I don't read them, but I follow Star Wars Theory has, like, a good, like, animation or illustration of it where he, like, goes over them. And the story of, like, Vader right after it happens are really good. Like, that story, again, they could have done more live action, which they could still do. But there's a lot of good stuff there. Like, or Anakin or Vader takes on, like, a clone battalion. They, like, attack him, and he just lays waste to them. And it really does Vader justice.
Yeah, there's like a 25-issue Darth Vader comic by Charles Soule that is just fantastic. I recommend everyone, if you haven't read it, you should read it. Or if you can't read it, just watch them online. There's a lot of good, like, narrations out there that go through them, and they're really good.
I'll read that.
Yeah.
I read the Ahsoka novel.
Yeah.
And I thought that was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
I plowed through that book in like 3 days.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, all right, I'm just going to read a few, you know, 10, 15 pages before bed. And then the next thing I know, I'm up to like 1 a.m. on a work night. Like, oh, fuck. Right. Here I am.
See, this is what I love, too, about talking about this. And whoever is watching this stream is presumably a Star Wars fan. But I feel like one of the things that's cooler about our generation is you can be more open about your fucking nerdy interests. And there's a lot more, like, you know, the market provides. Like, people, there's a lot there. And yeah, especially when you're talking about, like, the comics and stuff. Like, why would you – people that are like, oh, watching Star Wars, it's fucking gay. And it's like, dude, there's so much, like just interesting stuff that you can just kind of get lost in. And like we were talking about before, like those themes, like the hero's journey and whatnot are pivotal. And by the way, we got a few more comments here. We see Seth says, my favorite part of Star Wars was when they voted Palpatine out of office and had a peaceful transition of power. James says, did y'all hear Mark and Rumzo talking about the hero's journey versus the victim's journey on Lions of Liberty? It's the difference between good epic fiction and terrible epic fiction. Ray's is a victim's journey. I saw somebody post about that. I did want to check that out because that's right up my alley. And then James said, Ace is a droid. And then he meant Nick. And then Seth just says, no. Now, okay, because we have a few more minutes left. We're going to do a solid hour. But, okay, do you guys believe in the Mandela effect of Luke, I am your father, or no, I am your father? Because to me, it was always Luke until a couple of years ago. But then again, that's just what people say in, like, pop culture references. And I don't really remember. I'd be lying if I said I did.
I don't know if I believe in the Mandela effect. I do think it's possible that it's just those, you know, those memories get shifted around. Like it's like a game of telephone. You know what I mean? Like you hear other people say it, and that's kind of what you associate with other. It's like someone else says it wrong, and then the other, you hear it then, and you're like, oh, that's how it's always been said. You know what I mean? So I don't know, but I'm more inclined towards it's just like a game of telephone.
Yeah, I think it's fun. It's like the same thing with conspiracy theories. I'm not basing my worldview on this, but it's fun to think about. It's fun to like keep your door completely open. But then CPOs make some people say that's the main effect. But I mean, honestly, it's not going to.
Nick, you're buffering real bad now.
I heard 3PO's leg. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. So 3PO, this is one that I've always found a little weird because I don't remember 3PO's leg in A New Hope being silver, but it is. Like one of his legs is silver.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Shit, I don't remember that either.
Yeah. It was something where it's like, huh, okay, that's actually the weirdest one to me because I don't remember that being the case, but it is apparently. So yeah. Yeah.
Shit, now I'm gonna have to rewatch it for like the 100th time.
Yeah,
just to pay attention. Yeah, to that.
It's his foot, right. It's, I think it's like his right foot. I think is silver, or the bottom part of his leg. Yeah, yeah. So that is definitely weird.
Yeah, that is weird. I'm trying to think of some other Easter eggs like that I didn't notice. I mean, there's the obvious one, like at the end of the newest of the new last film, you know, The Last Jedi, where you hear like Ahsoka and
The Rise of Skywalker. Yeah.
The Rise of Skywalker. Sorry. You know, they're all talking to Rey. That was
like, I don't like that movie, but that was my favorite part of the movie. You know what I mean?
it was like one of the few redeeming qualities about that film.
Right. Yeah. 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 That was great. Yeah. That was great.
They could have saved it with a cameo by Ahsoka.
I honestly was really expecting, like, when that moment happened, all the Force ghosts to like be behind her when she stood up. That would have been great. You know what I mean? All the voices actually like materialized. That would have been you know, something pretty special. Also, you know, going back to this is, I'm sorry, I'm going to derail for a second. Something I just thought about actually is, like, you know how in the prequels the whole Jedi, and this is kind of like the whole thing about, you know, you shouldn't, just because the Jedi are supposed to be heroes, quote unquote, you shouldn't believe everything they say or trust everything they say in the prequels as this is what it's supposed to be like. You know how the Jedi have this very like Buddhist mentality that, you know, the only way to achieve peace is to get rid of all type of passion or emotion. So you can't feel love, hate, you know, any of this. Right. And like in the prequels, it seems that their viewpoint has been redeemed by the end, because Anakin's attachment is what led him to become Darth Vader in some sense, right? His refusal, his attachment. Yeah. But, you know, I always think this is pretty interesting, is that it's Anakin's attachment to Luke that actually saves everyone in the end, right? You know what I mean? Like his attachment, his love for his son is actually what ultimately stops Palpatine. So that's actually in some sense a refutation of the Jedi's own code. And I've always thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And
well, and the whole thing with Jedi, it's like they're almost like a priest class where there's a captain and have relationships and everything. And then they kind of talk about how that was an error. Like, they shouldn't have put these like rigid restrictions and dogmas in the Jedi Order. Like, that was part of the reason they were blind, is they were so dogmatic. And then it's like in Rebels, like Kanan Jarrus says, romance.
Yeah.
Kind of like, they just kind of like disregard that rule moving forward. Realize that was one of the bad things or unnecessary things.
Right, right. Yeah, for sure, for sure.
Because when Kanan... Yeah, they did do that little flash forward, didn't they, where they had a baby?
Yeah.
Yeah, they did. What is there any backstory there? Like, what happens?
No, that's wide open, apparently. All I know lore-wise is that Hera appears in the Star Wars Squadrons game, apparently. Like, after Rebels, post-Rebels. So in that game, she's a character. I don't know. They haven't touched that her story any further, though, or like what happens with her son.
Wonder if they're going to tie that in at all in like the Ahsoka series.
I would imagine that probably would get touched a little bit. Yeah.
You would think, because especially if they're planning on involving Ezra and.
Right. Right.
And is it Bo-Katan?
Yeah. Yep. Sabine. And,
or Sabine. Yeah.
And Thrawn.
Yeah. You'd think that they have to touch on
that.
They just left that just wide open.
Of course. I'm sure. Yeah.
So
Thrawn's a bad motherfucker. I really like
this character. I love Thrawn so much.
He's just like of honor. You know, he's not necessarily a dick. He's like a gentleman that like strategist.
Yeah. He's like the ultimate Machiavellian.
Yeah.
He's very into, like, he'll take like a brief plan to conquer, like something, try to study and understand him. It's really good. And I hope they do more with him. I know they wrote like a couple novels that are based around him. So, and there's so many characters from all of the animated series and comics and games that I want to see in action. And then there's like a whole Old Republic. I remember playing the game when I was a kid.
The Knights of the Old Republic RPG games are just some of the best Star Wars content that's ever been released. They're fantastic. If anyone listening has not played those, you need to. They're fantastic. Like, just lore. Even if you just go in for the lore alone, it's great.
I don't know if I played those.
Oh, dude, you need to. Maybe. Like, lore-wise, KOTOR 1 and 2 are just fantastic. Especially 2. 2 is one of my all-time favorite games.
I don't know if I did.
Oh man, you gotta.
I'm missing out. All right, I'm
they're
fired.
Like they're like 10. Both of them are like $10 on Steam, I think. So they're pretty cheap. Yeah.
Okay.
They came out like 2004 or 5.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
See, that's what was I doing?
We're coming up on 9 minutes here. I think would be cool if we did like a breakdown of each movie and these would be sporadically released, you know, like number of schedule. But we look 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3, and then sequels and then shows and everything. I think that would be like more of a narrow focus. That would be kind of fun to like go in depth.
Okay, yeah. So I think I caught most of that. Do you want to like go like touch on those movies, or do you want to like rank them? I it was a little hard to hear you.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. Nick, you're talking like R2-D2. I don't speak droid.
Okay. I'll remain quiet for the last few minutes.
Are we talking ranking the films?
Yeah, it's a great movie. We can ramp if we want, but just go into each one.
Do you mean like rank one out of ten, or do you mean like rank orderly, like in an ordered fashion? Like this one is first, second.
I was thinking like we could do it by release date, like 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3. Sorry, my internet, the storm
it's
is
better
still
now.
Fucking,
it's better.
You sound good now.
Sporadic, but it's a little frustrating. I'll be better prepared next time. Usually my internet is fantastic, so I didn't think this would be an issue. Nope, there. Yeah, no, now I see. Now the little low bar is gone. So now I'm back.
Yeah, you're good.
After missing 20 minutes. But yeah, no, so I think it would be fun to do like, yeah, we do like all about A New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, like go in and go through like each one and talk about like, you know, the politics of it, but then also just the general commentary, because I feel like trying to have a 1 hour live stream talking about all of them, it's like we're just kind of like feeling where everybody's at with like how they view it. But I feel like there's so much depth to get into that it would be fun to actually go like into each one,
do like a half hour on each one or something.
Yeah, I mean, for sure.
I'd be down with that.
Yeah.
I mean, the Empire Strikes Back is always going to be my favorite.
Yeah.
Personal opinion.
I go back and forth of the original trilogy. I go back and forth because it's like there's things I love from all of them, so it's really hard for me to decide. I think overall Empire is probably the best made of all of all three. I still think my favorite moment in all of Star Wars is probably the end of Return of the Jedi and Luke versus Vader, because I feel like everything culminates in that moment.
Yeah. See, I can't. I've thought about this too. If you told me to like rank the original trilogy like best, second best, third best, because there's no worst in those three films, but I couldn't do it. Like I recently rewatched, I rewatched A New Hope and Empire, and I can't pick between the two. Like A New Hope is beautiful because it introduces you to everything. And then also it's a self-contained story. Like they didn't know that they were going to make a sequel when they made that movie. So there's like just all this unknown lore out there, but just by itself as a standalone film, it's fantastic. And I have a serious, a quick story before we end here. Revenge of the Sith comes out when I'm in fifth grade, 2005, and it was released right around the time of my birthday. So like for my birthday party, like me and my friends went to see it in theaters. But before that, my brothers who were in high school at the time, they had one friend who would like burn DVDs and pirate movies offline. And somehow, I have no idea how he did it back then, but I got a copy, a DVD of Revenge of the Sith, like a week before it was released in theaters. And I remember I remember watching it in my basement, like knowing that this was bad and wrong, but I was like indulging, like it was the dark side. But then again, we probably don't believe in intellectual property. So I mean, fuck it, you know, and then they got my money anyway. I've given enough money to that franchise over time, but yeah, no, that was a great time. But to me, Revenge of the Sith, I think might be my number one overall. There's just so much. The action
overall
is unbelievable.
Yeah,
it's tough to say. I mean, it's hard to knock the OT because they're beautiful pieces of art, just like standalone on their own. But, and I mean, it's, you have to pay homage to like what started it, and they're just fun, entertaining movies. They hold up to this day, you know, without all of the retroactive, you know, edits, but
yeah, like for, oh God, this is so hard because I'm like, I think about this a lot and it always changes for me, but I do think out of the prequels, I think Revenge of the Sith is my favorite. Although I do have an underrated, I do have a love, and it's, I think Phantom Menace is still an underrated movie.
Yes.
People do not give enough credit to.
Yeah. They shit on it all the time. And I'm like, the Phantom Menace is like, it shows like what starts this whole thing, like a trade dispute, which I remember watching some video where they were saying like, okay, so this is actually an act of aggression by the Republic. Like, you have to go talk about like tax policy, and you send two warriors like armed to the teeth, like that they know they could just fuck up everybody. It's like, you know, sent as diplomats, but really they're like assassins.
Right, right.
It's true.
Yeah.
Diplomacy, they're not politicians. they skip that and they sent the militants in.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're the.
I feel like I understand the criticisms of Jar Jar, but I feel like if you just ignore Jar Jar in that movie, there's actually a lot of really interesting stuff in Phantom Menace that people kind of overlook. And I mean, the duel is just, you know, fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, I think it's the best one next to Anakin, Obi-Wan. I feel like the OT really lacked in that department, but they just didn't have like the better stunts and effects and everything.
Well, I read something too about the guy that played Vader or the stunt double, like the costume was really cumbersome, and they couldn't choreograph like really badass fight scenes. And I think that's what makes like Rogue One so awesome, because it's like what Vader, like that's like he was this bad motherfucker and like was truly like terrifying. And I think they really did a good job of capturing
that. And I feel like the OT, in defense of like the OT duels, though, I do think like they encompass encapsulate a lot of like emotion behind the duel, you know what I mean? Like
like
the emotion is almost more important than the actual physics of the lightsaber duel itself, like the why they're doing it, why they're fighting in the first place. And they really nailed that in the OT a lot.
Yeah, especially like you mentioned it before, Luke versus Vader, like when he's like hacking at him at the end, it's like you see this rage in his eyes, and it's like that is good acting. I mean,
that's right.
And people knock a lot of the acting in the Star Wars movies, but and then going back to Revenge of the Sith, to this day, I think that like the best acting in Star Wars, and like honestly, just some of the best acting I've ever seen, is the scene where they're going to arrest Palpatine, Anakin is like sitting on his hands, and he like stares over Coruscant, and he has like his like you see the tear coming down his eye, and it's like he realizes what he's about to get himself into, and it's like, and then Padme is looking, and it's like, oh, this is good shit. This is like, this is just raw emotion, just capturing it. It's beautiful,
right? And also, you know, that moment with like Luke and Vader, that's a great. It's just a great scene. I think it's my favorite scene in the entire series, so I talk about it a lot. But it's like
at the end where he takes his mask off.
With that, and it's also the one just where after he's like just attacking Vader on the ground, and then he like turns around to Palpatine and he throws his lightsaber when he says, "No, there's nothing you can do. I won't fight you. I love my father, and there's nothing you can do to change it." Right? That's like the old. That's Luke's crescendo. Right? That's the pinnacle of his character arc right there.
He throws his lightsaber and says he's not for sale. And then that whole scene is so great. And then, you know, apparently Palpatine survived being thrown down a shaft that exploded.
I hate it so much. I hate it so much, man. It ruins so much of that for me.
I think if I was like going to introduce someone to Star Wars that had never seen it, I just tell them, don't even fucking watch the newest trilogy. Fucking bother. It'll ruin everything that is, everything was so well done for the most part. Right. And then you just get that heaping pile of trash.
And I will say, because a lot of the criticisms you'll get in response to that, like they'll talk about Luke's arc in particular. They'll say, well, you just wanted Luke to be this, you know, perfect character. And it's like, look, for me, I'm fine with Luke having a character arc where he seems defeated. You know what I mean? I think that's a pretty interesting story. What I don't like is the fact that they completely nullified his character arc in the past, where it's like, okay, he has no students. His Jedi Order is completely gone. And it's just like, you know, that's you've robbed something in order for us to get this character arc. That's the problem. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, if he had still had his order, if he still had students, you know, I would be like, okay, I'm fine with, you know, Luke having like some type of midlife crisis here. You know what I mean? I think that would have been fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Or just some sort of stumbling block where he loses his way, or he becomes arrogant or something.
Instead of losing the entire point of his whole character arc in the OT.
Yeah. You know, like Marvel did something similar with Thor, where it's like, you know, he loses everything and then like redeems himself in Infinity War, and then it becomes a punchline in Endgame. That irked me the wrong way. I did not like that.
I agree.
But then it's like Luke is okay. So it's like he's a naive little kid. He's kind of a whiny little bitch. And then he becomes like battle hardened. And then he's like this wise badass in Return of the Jedi.
Right.
And it's like, and then what? Then he goes back to being a hermit and a whiny little bitch like years later. Just the whole thing, man. And
I will say he was a bad motherfucker in the season 2 finale of The Mandalorian.
Oh, though. Yeah. That was
so good.
That was great.
And I know there are some plot holes, I guess. But I mean, honestly, if you don't think about it too much, it's fine. Like it's like, just enjoy it. It's a great scene.
I will say that I was really happy after that, because it's like, okay, given we know how Luke's story ends ultimately, that the very least what they can do in some sense is kind of make Grogu Luke's student. You know what? I can take some type of solace in that. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so I feel like I can be okay with that.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, guys, we're a little over time here. So if we want to wrap, Ace, you want to tell people where to find you?
Sure. So I don't usually talk about Star Wars on Twitter, but, you know, I may start. you can follow me on Twitter at @Ace_Arcist, and I co-host the podcast Slurp Gang, which is nothing like this, and it's much worse. So, but no, all jokes aside, it's just me and my co-host Khan Narkist and Jay, and we talk about just whatever we want to talk about. So yeah, you can find me there.
Love it.
All right,
thanks so much for inviting me on, guys. This was great.
Yeah, we'll have to,
something that's not anarchism.
Absolutely. Yeah, we'll have to do this again.
Absolutely. Yeah,
this is a good primer. We didn't get roasted too hard in the live chat, so outside of Nick speaking droid.
Yeah, no kidding. And follow Tyler at Schlitz_beer, and then follow me @Mike at Paul's to the Wall with a Z at the end. And all right, guys, we'll do this again soon. Peace.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.